blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Psalter 348, stanzas 1, 4, and 6. With joy and gladness in my soul, I hear the call to prayer. Let us go up to God's own house and bow before him there, and bow before him there. 1, 4, and 6 of Psalter 346. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the second epistle of Paul to Timothy, in the second chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 2. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who, concerning the truth, have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Willina van Driesten, who is improving in the hospital in Calgary, Chad Outsorn, who must undergo a procedure again this Thursday, as well as those that mourn, also the brother of Mr. Andy Slingerland, who is still in the hospital. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O thou knowest what the heart of each and every one of us does contain, even in this very moment, when we are together as sitting and standing in thy house of prayer. Lord, oh, it is a good thing that we may come together. But Lord, we have to bring ourselves along. And thou art the all-seeing God, and we can do nothing right in thy most holy sight. All we have read of those that call upon thee, out of a pure heart. And Lord, we cannot call unto thee out of a pure heart, because our heart is so full of wretchedness and of wickedness and of this world of vanity and of carnal things. Lord, oh, that thou may make our heart pure, that thou would cleanse us, and that thou may wash us, and then we shall be clean. And then we shall cry to thee out of a pure heart, out of a pure motive, with a right desire, and with a holy longing, and also a holy abhorrence of iniquity and of sin. Lord, plant it in our hearts. And when we do not have it in our hearts by nature, and when we may know only a little bit in our life of what that true cry is, oh, may thou give it by renewal for also thy own church that is continually leaving thee days without number. And they are making themselves so worthy that thou shouldst never return unto them. Lord, may thou instruct us all in our wretchedness and in our miserable state and condition by nature, and even of our wretchedness after received grace. Oh, that thy dear Son, oh, that he might become precious and necessary to each and every one of us, and that what thy bride may say of him may also be lying in the innermost recesses of all of our hearts, that he was so white and he was so ruddy, or that he was the chiefest among 10,000. Lord, there were those that did see it of thee when they stood even about thy cross on that hill of Calvary, when thou hast humbled thyself even unto death, and when according to all men in this world, then thou wast nothing but a liar and an impostor. And Lord, then there were those that did see that it was not so, that thou hadst done nothing amiss, and that thou wast from the side of men so unjustly put to death. And Lord, yet it was so righteous from the side of thy own Father, as when thou wast the head of thy own church, that thou shouldst give thyself in such a way. Oh, may thou give us then the eyes to see how beautiful is that cursed cross upon which thou didst set thyself in thy own time, in thy own way, for thy own purpose, for the complete remission of all the sins of thy wicked people. Lord, thou knowest all now what they need. Oh, it needs to be applied to the most wretched and ungodly ones in this world. Lord, it needs to be sanctified unto each and every one of us also, that we would not go our whole life long, as it was the case of so many already that have gone before us, to hear thy word, and so as the wicked to be buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy. Oh, then our place that shall know it no more. But Lord, where shall that place be that we shall spend that eternity? Oh, bind that matter, Lord, upon our hearts, even in this morning hour. Oh, that it may become a matter of life and of death, that it may become an urgent matter, when we may see, when we may feel, when we may be impressed by thy Holy Spirit with the urgency of the need of our poor soul, that we are dead in trespasses and in sins,
and that we cannot deliver ourselves from that misery in which we have brought ourselves. Oh, it belongeth unto thee, O Lord, to help us and our children, to bind that matter upon us by thy Spirit, and to give us that true and that heartfelt cry out of the depth of our wretched, miserable condition and state, that we may cry to thee, and that thou may hear from heaven thy dwelling place. Lord, we beseech thee to come and to look upon us and our children, and when we will never turn unto thee, and when our responsibility that is laid before us time after time, and with all our responsibility, we shall go lost if there is never thy hand extended forth in all its might and strength. O Lord, we beseech thee then in mercy to look upon us and to come to open the windows of heaven in this thy holy day and to pour out a blessing from thy heavenly store, which is so full. Lord, we beseech thee that thou wouldst strike our hearts for the first time or by renewal, and that thou wilt raise the dead amongst us, and that that cry indeed may go forth, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Wilt thou take reasons out of thyself and of all that which is accomplished by thy dear Son to do it for us, who are so undeserving? Lord, remember thy people. O thou knowest also this morning how it is. O, when there are those that do not know the way, and those whom thou hast brought out of that city of destruction, and those in whom thou hast planted a cry, life, life, eternal life, all that thou may give, that they might see where that life is to be found. Oh, may thou break through for those in whom it is so dark, and those who cannot find a solution to their wretched case. Lord, wilt thou give them to hear thy voice? Wilt thou give them an opening, a blessed opening in thy word, that thou may apply the work of thy dear Son? O, look on all thy children, establish thy church in that most holy faith. O, give them to know that thou art their Father. O, give them instruction in their childhood, that they may more and more be given that exercise of true saving faith in thee, that is to thy honor and to thy glory. Oh, that they may continually be given to look away from themselves and to rest only upon that blessed work of thy dear Son, that it may be their daily comfort and their daily meat and drink in this life, and that others also may be given to see something from their countenance, which may shine forth in the midst of all trials and tribulations here below, even as a Ruth of old has seen it in the Omai. Lord, give thy people yet to speak, and that their mouths may go open, and that we may receive instruction in the midst of the congregation. Lord, be with all that are afflicted, those that mourn. Oh, help the widow. Oh, be on her right and on her left hand, who has stood at that open grave in the week that has gone by, and also all the children and the grandchildren. Oh, wilt thou be on their right and on their left in the time to come? And wilt thou give earnestly to seek that portion that we cannot miss ourselves, be with all those that mourn. And wilt thou look also on those that are in the hospitals. The young girl from the midst of us, O Lord, we beseech thee that thou may give further strength and health in her very weak body. May thou give that she may be brought home once again. Help the doctors and all the caregivers. Oh, spare her life. And Lord, give her also to acknowledge that thou art the living God, that in her young life that new life may be born, and also in the life of her parents and of her family. Be also with the young child who must enter the hospital again in this week. Continually he must return to that place. Lord, may thou give thy blessing on all that is done. And may thou protect him also every time again, also in this week. Give us a cry also for him and a strength in his family. Look upon him also. The brother of one in our own midst, Lord, thou knowest his condition. Oh, may thou help from above, Lord. May thou give an increase in his strength. May thou give a healing for his body. Oh, may thou visit him this day. It is also the Sabbath day for him. And thou hast driven him to that place. Oh, make it for him a little sanctuary this day. That he may feel something of thy nearness and presence. Lord, go with all that are afflicted and sick in this world, supplying all the needs that are in family life and the difficulties and troubles that may be therein. Wilt thou supply for all thy servants, over the length and the breadth of this whole world. Oh, be with them this day. And wilt thou bless thy word by their mouth. Wilt thou also help us. Lord, wilt thou be on our right and on our left hand in the preaching of thy holy word. Give us liberty, give us freedom. Give us love, give us diligence, give us faithfulness, give us thy spirit. And may it also be in the hearing that thou would drive out the buyers and the sellers and give us a little attention in the mind, a little interest, and that need to be born in our hearts. Oh, sanctified, it is thy word, O Lord. Do it for thy name's sake, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 347, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Unto the hills around do I lift up my longing eyes. O, whence for me shall my salvation come? From whence arise? From God, the Lord, doth come my certain aid. From God, the Lord, who heaven and earth hath made. The last collection today is for the building fund. Psalter 347, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. congregation, how does that true church of God, while they are in this world, need instruction? That they need to be taught, even as a little child, the first rudiments of that grace that the Lord is working within their hearts. How many times do we not read of David that he says, O Lord, teach me. When the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, then how good it was for that church, because they may receive from him, as that great prophet, so much instruction. In what was it necessary for him to instruct his people? That was in the relation between God and their soul. That was not only how that it was before conversion, but also how it is after that new birth. Then the Lord Jesus had to give so much instruction concerning himself. And then how low that the Lord Jesus may come, that he may use so many well-known examples to give unto that ignorant people that instruction. Thus he is speaking about himself as a shepherd, or he is speaking about himself as a physician, or that he is speaking about himself as a surety, all for that blessed instruction that people might know who he is. But then it was also necessary for him to instruct that people concerning who they are. And thus he has also used so many likenesses from this world, that sometimes he has compared that church of God to a field, or he has compared that church to fishes, or that he has compared that church to a bride, or he has compared that church to wise virgins, and so the church may receive instruction. And now also Paul, the same as his master, has given that instruction. He was also ordained on behalf of his master to instruct his church. And so, being led by the inspiration of that same Spirit which filled the Lord Jesus Christ, he has also given a likeness of that church in that chapter that we read together. And we wish, with the Lord's help, to consider something of this likeness. From 2 Timothy 2, thereof the fourth verse. 2 Timothy 2, verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So far the words of our text. Warriors in the church militant, first, the purpose of a warrior in the church militant, Second, the life of a warrior in the church militant. And third, the end of a warrior in the church militant. Warriors in the church militant, first, their purpose. Second, their life. Third, and their end. We read in the Bible, congregation, that there shall be in this world wars and rumors of wars. That has laid in the decree of God from eternity. And yet those wars, they are a work of the enemy of God himself, that is Satan. Where has that warfare begun? That has begun already in heaven. So very shortly after that time of creation. And that warfare that has not ceased, and it will not cease even unto the end of time. Therefore, there are since that time two kingdoms that are in this world. There is the kingdom of God, and there is the kingdom of Satan. And these two kingdoms, they are at a perpetual warfare. We are not strangers of what war is, because war that is also in our very own time. Thus, then we know, we hear what is going on, and yet we are so far removed from it. Why? Because that warfare that is not being fought on our own soil, but that is being fought at a distance that is from us so great. But what a different thing. What a different matter that it will be when the Lord is pleased to allow that warfare to come within our own land. And yet, congregation, God's true church, they are not so far away from warfare. No, they have a warfare that is very close by. Where is that warfare being fought? That is being fought within their own breast. That is being fought within themselves. And that is why that church that is called here below on earth a church militant. No man that warreth and tangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That warfare that applied to Timothy in a very special way, because Timothy was a servant of the Lord. And then there is a special warfare that must be fought, but there is also a warfare that is being fought within every one of that true church. And that is also applicable in a certain sense unto the whole congregation that has joined itself unto the people of the Lord in its outward administration. Thus, congregation, what is our life? Is our life indeed a warfare? We have no desire for that. No, we do not want to live in such a life. It is very difficult. In that life, we have to deny ourselves. And in that life, then we have not rest and peace. But there is continual war. Thus we do not choose it. And yet there is a church militant. How is that possible when man will never choose to enter, to enlist himself, as it were, in that warfare? Then how is it possible that there is such a church militant? We read it here. We read, and that such were chosen to be soldiers. Thus they have not desired to enlist themselves, but the Lord, He has chosen them to be a soldier. Does that mean that they have gone unwillingly? Just as those that are drafted into the war, when it is necessary, and then we have so many soldiers on the battlefield that are actually at any moment ready to run away again. But it is not so, because that church militant is not forced to go into that warfare. But the Lord has a willing people in the day of His power. And thus, when the Lord is stopping a man, when He is going on in this world in His ease and in His rest, and when He does not want to be disturbed, does not want to feel uncomfortable, that does not want to consider what is spoken to him, preached, read to him out of that word of God, lest it upset his easy life, that the Lord, He is saying, thus far and no further. But then the Lord is affecting the very will of that child, of that youth, father or mother, so that now in a very willing way, when the Lord is calling them so irresistibly, that in a very willing way, that they are going forward in it, that they are choosing with all their heart to walk in that way of that warfare. How was that with Ruth? She could have gone back too with Orpah to her easy life, but she has chosen by the grace of God, and that portion of Naomi. What does it say in our text? That they may please Him who hath chosen them, him to be a soldier. Thus there is a desire. There is a desire for this new life. That is no slavish fear, but it is the desire of love. Therefore, it is even as the desire of a little child who has parents, that is such a beautiful time when they are so small and when they have such a desire to please us. And so that is. And then especially in that time of first love. Oh, then it is seen then as a little child that there is such a desire that they may please the Lord. That they are so careful that they don't want to do anything which would make the Lord have to chastise them. That the Lord would have to hide His face from them. Then if the Lord says go, then they will go. And if the Lord says stay, then they will stay.
And if they have to leave father and mother and lands and people, then they are ready. Why? That they may please him who has chosen them to be soldiers. What a great change.
How is that, young people? You can feel that in your own heart, can you not? What a great change that must be. What lies in your heart of that now? To please the Lord. Oh, by nature, there lies nothing in our heart that goes out after the Lord. Just the opposite. How I may please myself. So what a great change that the Lord is working in the heart, in the life of his children. And when he is enlisting them in that service, and when their heart no longer desires to find all that they found before in this world, and when, as Saul of Tarsus was before persecuting the church of God, that all of a sudden there is a great change. It is exactly the opposite that it was before. Do you think you will know that? You will know it. When your desires, they are to flee the world and to walk according to all of the commandments of the Lord. Oh, then there is a desire not even to serve myself anymore, but that I may do everything that I may please him. Oh, what a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing to see such a person in this world that the Lord has made into such a soldier, such a warrior. Then they are like Joseph, so careful. How shall I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Oh, then their heart that is crying and that is seen in their life. David says, give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it, he says, with my whole heart. Then that is not only what men can see that I do, but what the Lord sees. That is then also my heart, that may walk in all its desires according to that blessed word of the Lord. What a sincere religion. With a desire to please. But this service that is called in our text a warfare, chosen him to be a soldier. Why is that? Why is that then called a warfare when there is such a beautiful desire in the heart of that newborn soul? Why is he then called a soldier? Because that warfare is the mark of that true church. That is not so with a hypocrite, but that is only so with that true church of God. For a hypocrite congregation, it is so easy. It is no warfare. No, then they are able to fulfill. And they are able to please God. Why? Because they have lowered the standard of the Word of God. Because they think that word of God and the command of the Lord consists just in some outward things.
Well, then just live a civil life. Then just go to that city of morality. Then just please your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Don't be so harsh with your neighbor. Don't make divisions, but live in peace. Don't be too particular, else you be legalistic. And else you make all kinds of troubles, else you upset your own heart too much. Oh, you understand, then it is a service, but it is no warfare. It is no struggle. Religion, yes, what is that? That is an asset to my life. I can do my work better. My conscience, that does not bother me so much when I follow such a nice religious life. That's good for you. That is, congregation, no warfare. Nor is that the language of God's true church that we can read in the Holy Scriptures. What do we read about Paul? What does he say? He complains. He says it is a warfare. He complains about a law that is in his members so that he cannot do those things which that new life, that new man desires to do. What is it that is a complaint? That there is also an old man. And that old man is continually fighting against that new man. What does he say to will that is present with me? Yes, that is the will of that new man. But how to perform it? I cannot perform it. And why cannot I perform it? Because there is in that old man that is within me nothing good. And he is always fighting against that will of that new man. And that he is always seeking after the world and always seeking for those things which are carnal yet. What does Job complain about? He says, who can bring forth a clean thing out of an unclean? What does David say? He says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. But what did he find within himself? They were not directed so. Thus, we hear a grieving church of God in the midst of that desire to do according to his holy will. So that what does Paul say? He says, I die daily. He says, every day then I am losing that warfare. Why is it so much more difficult, congregation, than the hypocrite finds it? Because the Lord has taught them something that he has not taught the hypocrite. And what is that? That is the spirituality of that law of God. That is that law demands much more than a mere external obedience. That they are going as Luther from step to step, deeper and deeper to see what the corruption of their wretched heart is. Then the Lord is bringing them back to paradise. And what was there in paradise? There was a creature that was created for the service, for the honor, and for the glory of the Lord. Not one who just did outward acts of obedience, no, but who had a heart that loved the Lord. And what can that people find no longer within their heart? That is that love. But so much of that love of the world, thus The law, we read, that is spiritual, Paul says, but I am carnal, that I am sold under sin. And therefore, Paul says, I am no match for that enemy that is coming against me. Oh, for men, there was a time that there was no warfare. No, for man, when he was created in that state of innocence. Oh, then the enemy, he had not penetrated yet into that heart of man. So there was no struggle within. No, everything that was all for the glory and for the honor and for the service of the Lord. Everything that was out of pure love to God, then he called upon God with a pure heart. Then there was no struggle. And why is that? Was there a difference in Satan? Was he then not as strong as Satan is today? Were his temptations less than they were today? No, our heart is different. Our heart is different. We had then no inclination towards Satan. When Satan came that first time to our first parents, there was no love as there is today, is there not? For sin. There was no drawing within the heart of Adam to sin. No, it was pure. Oh, then Adam could so freely make that good choice. Just as easily as he could make that wicked choice. That will that was so free. Thus there was a difference in the heart of man than there is today. Because today our heart is now inclined to it all. Our heart is bent on following that path of wickedness. And thus, even in the heart of that renewed soul, oh, there is still that old man that is choosing that wicked way. And therefore, congregation, that struggle between the law of the mind and the law of the flesh. That is their life. We see that further in our second thought. The life of a warrior in that church militant. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Where must a soldier go, boys and girls? He must go to the battlefield. He must defend his country. He must defend his city. He must defend his family. He must defend himself. How would that be now if that soldier, he would leave for a little while and he would go to some business in this world, farming or some trading? We would say, soldier, you are off your duty. You cannot do that because you must watch, and you must watch every moment, because that enemy can any moment come and he will be looking especially for that time that you are not watching. Thus he has a work to do. And that is a great work that soldier has to do.
that is taking all his attention. And he cannot leave it off for one moment to do other business. And so Paul is saying now, here is the life of that true church of God. That is, in that spiritual warfare, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. For a minister, you understand that that is in a very special way. Because there is a devil who is continually trying to attack that true church of God. And then he has a work to do that he may not follow in an earthly calling in this world. Congregation, there is also a sense in which it is applicable to God's true church and to the whole church at large. How is that? Must you then also not go to do your work? Must we not labor with our hands that thing which is good? Certainly. And we are not all called to leave our place in this life. And we are not all called as mothers to go to the prison houses there to be evangelists to the prisoners. No, we can read in the Word of God how that Solomon, he is directing to a great diligence also in the things of this life. Thus, the calling of the apostles, that does not belong to the whole church at large. We all have a calling in this world that is proper, that is our duty, we must follow it. And still, what does Paul warn against? He warns against being entangled. Entangled. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. To be entangled, what is that? The word actually means to weave. To weave. That we are tightly interwoven, that it is not so easy to separate ourselves from something which is woven in. Thus, it is speaking about an absorbing pursuit, entangling. Entangling, that is really the work of the enemy, is it not? Or if the enemy can throw a net over us to entangle us, then we are rendered useless for the fight. Thus, it is the desire and always the pursuit of the enemy to entangle a person. But Paul here speaks about entangling ourselves. No man that warreth entangleth himself. Thus, we would say, what a foolish person. He is at warfare and he is entangling himself, that he does not leave himself fit to fight. What does that mean, that man is fighting against himself? That man has indeed become his own enemy. And so it is in the love of our misery, in the love of our death state, that our heart is so inclined to the love of this world that we are entangling ourselves so that we may not be separated from
the wiles of our enemy, from Satan, from the world. Thus, a proof that our will that is following after who the Lord Jesus says is our father, that is the devil. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. No, not those things which are sinful. We don't read that here. When we are fighting, congregation, a warfare against sin, then will we not also desire to choose the place where we are going to war? You would say, I would rather meet the enemy in this field rather than that field. Why? Because the one field that makes it so much more advantageous to me. But in that other field, the enemy has the advantage. How is it at the ball field? Who has the advantage? Do you think that that is now the place where God's children choose to fight that battle? How is it sitting behind a television screen watching a movie or the internet doing the same? Is that now the place where you think God's people will choose to fight that warfare against sin, that they may be holy, that they may not sin against the Lord within their heart? No, we can say so many things, but we all know. Paul is not even speaking about these things here. But he is speaking about the affairs of this life. Thus, he is not speaking about things that are sinful in themselves, that are evil in themselves, but just the affairs that are in this life. That's how quickly do we not get entangled in the affairs of this life? Do we not hear the warning of the Lord in His Word? A seed which is choked by the cares of this world, by the deceitfulness of riches and lust and other things entering in? Do we not hear the word of the Lord when He speaks about that great supper and one has to go see the land that he bought and one to prove his oxen and one has married a wife and so all these, they are not able to come? Why did Jonadab say to his children that they should always live in tents? That they might live as strangers here below, as the patriarchs who were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. They were fighting a warfare. Congregation, with how many lawful things do we not entangle ourselves? So much more than our fathers. Why? Because we have the opportunity. Oh, in how many ways, when you look back over your own life now. Oh, in how many ways was this not an entanglement and that not an entanglement? How much effort have we not put into things that have no value? How much thought and energy have we now put into things that are already gone? They are already passed away. How much preparation have we not put into things in this life that have only lasted a few hours? And we yet have to face eternity. How much trouble for decisions that we have to make in this life? Oh, how many entangled in squabbles, family squabbles, parents, children, business. Entangled in the lust of this world. Entangled seeking after health and fitness. Yes, we must care for our bodies. But entangled therein, oh, that beauty of Absalom that was for his death. Solomon entangled with women. They drew away his heart. Are we entangled as adults also playing like children? As if there is no eternity, as if we didn't have a soul, as if life that was not serious business? Oh, when you see, did you ever see that, young people? That picture of that broad way and that narrow way. That how many things are included on that broad way. But what do you see on that narrow way? Then all those things are not there. Oh, our fathers, they had it so much simpler, didn't they? Because they had no opportunity. And no opportunity meant that the decision that was already taken for them, it was impossible. And now it is possible because we have prosperity and the devil has brought all these things also within the churches. And now congregation, that means all the more that we need to watch much more than our fathers. That we have to be careful. That we have to be honest with ourselves and with one another. Let us sing. Psalter 324. 1-4. My grieving soul revive, O Lord, according to thy word. To thee my ways I have declared, and thou my prayer hast heard. 1-4 of Psalter 324.
Our last thought, the end of a warrior in the church militant. Congregation, who is fit to fight such a war? Are you fit to do that? Am I fit to do that? There is an enemy, and that enemy is very strong. That enemy has many devices. Paul says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Thus, in all those things, the devil himself is fighting. Can we think to win against the devil? Not only so, what is in our own heart? That is, everyone has a heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That there is in every one of us either our whole heart to go after Satan or part of our heart. Then who can come through that warfare? And yet, that victory for the true church of God, that is so sure. That was promised to them already before that Adam left paradise. That the Lord says that he shall bruise that head of Satan. That he was going to send his son to fight for that true church. And he is going to receive the victory in that battle so that the power of Satan shall be broken. We read that also in Isaiah 63, how he prophesies of this. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have trod in the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments. And I will stain all my raiment. Thus the prophet Isaiah already was given to foresee that coming struggle of that Son of God against that awful power of darkness. And then we can read in the Word of God how that it was accomplished. By Christ, who was chosen of the Father to be that soldier that he may enter into that warfare. We read he was in all points tempted like as we are. Thus that he fought that same battle, different time, same enemy. And that he was without sin. The devil said also to him, young people, said also to him, fall down worship me. The devil also gave him a promise that if you will worship me, I will give you all the kingdoms that are in this world. Oh, the devil tried to tempt him the same as he tries to tempt us. But he stood when we did not stand and where we cannot stand. He was despised and he was rejected of men. He was a man of sorrows and he was acquainted with grief. And though he was promised all the kingdoms in this world, he says of himself that the Son of Man hath no place whereon to lay his head. That is that life he chose, that he might bruise that head of Satan, that he may take away from him all the power of death over his own church. And then he has earned for that church eternal life by his active obedience when they had no power. Satan attacked Adam. He did not stand. Satan attacked Christ. And he stood. And he received the victory. And therefore, the end of that warfare, of that true church, is not uncertain. Though they have no strength, though they cannot be constant in that battle, they are not fighting to win it, because it is won already. Why then do they fight it? That is what Paul says. That they may please him who has chosen them to be a soldier. People of the Lord, how often is it not a rest-seeking life, a comfort-seeking life, seeking ease? But a soldier, he takes with him in the battle only the things that are necessary for that battle. The rest he leaves behind. Why? Because they will encumber him in the fight. They will not help him. Not because they are not lawful. There are many things that are lawful. But they won't help them in the battle. Or was there not a time when you are so ready to leave all those things? And now how is it? Or is it the same as it once was? Christ says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Is that evident in your life? Young people, children, we may feel for you. We may feel for you. Because your battle is much more difficult in an outward way than our battle was in an outward way. And our fathers, yours, is much, much more difficult. And you will say to father and to mother, why can't we do this? Why can't we do that? Is there something wrong with it? Sometimes there is. Sometimes there isn't. And even when there is not, then sometimes father and mother, they say no. No. Why? That is living in your heart, is it not? Do you know why? Because it will not help you in the battle. It will not help you to fight against sin. But it will be for your detriment. It will hurt you. It will be against you. That is why. Congregation, we are going by nature on a broad way. It's a way that can take everything in. That is now the way in which we are called to walk with our children, wherein the Lord in this life, He is calling us to strive, to strive, to enter in through that straight gate. That is to put forth energy, to strive. We always say, boys and girls, do not strive with one another. To strive is to fight. And now the Lord says, fight to enter in. It is a fight, is it not? Even in an outward way. And often we are tired of fighting. And yet the Lord says, strive. You say, I must be a steward in this world, must I not? Yes, that is true. We must be a steward in this world. We must take care of many things in this world. So we need to make here a distinction. What is stewardship? And what is entanglement? How can we distinguish between these two? Shall we go get a dictionary? Shall we go to the college and ask the professors to explain to us the difference between stewardship and entanglement? Don't think we need to go too far. If we could go only 2 weeks back in time, and all of us come and stand next to the bed of Mr. Alleman, and then we would ask him, what is the difference between stewardship and entanglement? When you are lying on your deathbed and you look back in your life, then many things that you called stewardship in your life, we will then admit that I was entangled. That's a person who sees it as it is. That's a person who is no longer deceiving himself. That's a person who sees the reality. From how many things, when we are called to stand before the judgment seat of God, suddenly, in a moment, when the trump shall sound for this world or for us personally, from how many things will we not have to be disentangled? We read of in the Bible, there was a man, a soldier. He was given a prisoner of war. And he was told to keep that prisoner of war. Else your life, that shall go for his life. And what happened? He lost him. And then he had to give an account. And what did he say? He says, when I was busy here and there, he was gone. Congregation, what shall we say of our life one day? I was busy here and there, and then it was gone. And then shall come the same answer as came to that man of what his judgment should be, because your own mouth that has decided it. May the Lord remember us. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, who can put his hand into his bosom and take it out clean? Concerning the warnings that thou givest us in thy word, O Lord, disentangle us and give us to live truly as a warrior, as a soldier, to fight until the end. For Lord, that people shall not always fight, but one day that fight that shall be finished at their last breath. And then that old man shall be buried, and that new man shall receive the desire of his heart, without sin and pollution, without any imperfection, to magnify and to glorify the work of thy dear Son. Lord, look on us. Forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 422, stanzas 6 and 7. Thou art, O God, our boast, the glory of our power. And thy sovereign grace is e'er our fortress and our tower. And we lift our heads aloft, for God our shield is o'er us. Through him alone, whose presence goes before us, will wear the victor's crown. No more by foes assaulted, we'll triumph through our King, by Israel's God exalted. 6 and 7 of Psalter 422.
Oh,
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.